There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss. There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey, I need you to pay close attention to this message. It is not an ad. This is about Canada Land, and this is about you. You need to know that the news crisis is about to get a lot worse. You've heard about the layoffs. We're about to have news closures, and it's very likely that we're going to be seeing the defunding of the CBC. Where are you going to get your information from? What can you do about this? You can support Canada Land. We need you to. And so for this month and this month only, you can become a Canada Land supporter and get everything our supporters get for just $2 a month. That is an almost 80% discount. The clock is ticking on this. It disappears at the end of the month, and then we will not offer it. We need your support. We need to keep news coverage alive in Canada. Go right now to canadaland.com/join. And thank you. This episode is brought to you by the Center for Addiction and Mental Health, CAMH. It's never an easy call with so many problems in the world to know where to direct the money that you donate when you want to help out in this world. But what I can tell you is that when you donate to CAMH, you're saving lives. We know about the opioid crisis. We know about the mental health crisis. They are doing the work. Help change mental health care forever. Your support will help CAMH build a future where no one is left behind. Donate at camh.ca/CanadaLand to help us treat addiction and build hope.
There's a whole organization on Instagram that will send a nude for a vote. If you tell them you voted, you'll get a sexy photo.
Jane Litvinenko, I learn new things from you every day. Our new editor here at CanadaLandShow.com. Welcome to your first episode of Shortcuts.
Thank you. This is actually my second, though.
Oh, sorry. This episode of Shortcuts is brought to you by Jason, Daniel Quinn, Melinda Jacobs, Trevor McCormick, David Peltier, Ed Michael Roth, Omar Ghaffar, Lauren Beaton, and Matt Lissack. Matt, why did you decide to be awesome?
When your public broadcaster becomes underfunded, irrelevant, insulated, and lame, the prudent thing to do is to build a better one that has teeth and humor and preferably swearing.
This episode is also brought to you by FreshBooks. Before you came to work here, Jane, you used FreshBooks.
I did. I still use FreshBooks every day. I love them. They send me nifty little emails telling me who I have to chase down.
Wait, you mean like as a payer or as a pay, like which clients you need to?
So when I send out an invoice at the end of the month, they tell me which ones weren't paid. And my favorite response to anybody who hasn't paid my invoice is my landlord wants to know when the check will be in the mail. Thanks, FreshBooks.
Mental note to always pay Jane on time. FreshBooks is the best way to send invoices for small businesses and freelancers. Painless billing, cloud accounting, saves you time, makes you look good, gets you paid faster. Check it out at FreshBooks.com. You can try it for free for 30 days. After that, you're going to want to become a customer. And when you do and you sign up, tell them who sent you. You will be helping this show. Thank you very much, FreshBooks.
This episode is brought to you by Douglas, a mattress trusted by more than 200,000 Canadians from coast to coast to coast. Trust is important. There are a lot of mattress lies out there, a lot of mattress liars. And I didn't intend the pun, but it occurred to me that there is one as I was saying those words. Listen, I am not lying to you. I have experienced the Douglas mattress. It is an exceptional mattress at a surprisingly affordable price point. It is a mattress that sleeps cool, doesn't have that weird thing in the summer where the mattress gets like an oven. It's a very good product. It's delivered to your house in a box. You don't have to go to a big mattress store. It is a medium firm mattress, which is what Canadians prefer, and it comes with a 365-night trial and a 20-year warranty. What more can I tell you? Douglas is giving our listeners a free sleep bundle with each mattress purchase. Get the sheets, pillows, mattress, and pillow protectors free with your Douglas purchase today. Visit douglas.ca/CanadaLand to claim this offer. This episode is brought to you by the Center for Addiction and Mental Health, CAMH. We hear a lot about the opioid crisis. We talk a lot about the mental health crisis. These are serious problems. These problems affect us all. They've affected my life and my community. They're not intractable problems. I don't know what's going to solve them on a policy level, but day to day, helping people, that's what CAMH does. They do it on the ground when people need help, and they do it through research. The team at CAMH gave our team a tour of their facilities, and we were really just blown away by the incredible, heroic work that they're doing every day. They treat everyone with dignity, and their research is seeking and finding real solutions for everyone around the world. Help change mental health care forever. Your support will help CAMH build a future where no one is left behind. Donate at CAMH.ca/CanadaLand to help CAMH treat addiction and build hope.
A re-elected Conservative government will also commit to establishing an RCMP tip line so that citizens and victims can call with information about incidents of barbaric cultural practices here in Canada.
The Conservatives say revoking the citizenship of terrorists is the right thing to do.
Would there be other types of crimes in the future that you would consider expanding this to? Like, for example, a serial killer or a rapist or someone who did something to children and had a second citizenship with another country?
Well, you know, obviously we can look at options in the future.
From Hamas rockets in 2014, Brian Echo and Andrew Leslie, Israel of indiscriminately bombing women and children. That's just not true.
Jagdish Graywal was center stage just last month, introducing the headliner, Stephen Harper, in a key Ontario riding. Graywal made headlines of his own. Translated, the title says, "Is it wrong for a homosexual to become a normal person?"
It's sounding gross out there.
Yeah, that really pissed me off.
What part?
All of it.
So
do I have to pick?
No, there's a long list. I mean, let's count it off here. There's dress codes and snitch lines, enemy lists, barbaric cultural practices, abnormal, unnatural behaviors. Lots of code words and dog whistles. Different types of incitements to hatred that seem micro-targeted to different communities. You got something for the Chinese community. That statement that the Conservative Party issued in Mandarin. Vice, I think, translated it?
Yeah, that was them.
Vice translates this statement that was in Mandarin, and what it says is, the Conservative Party has a real commitment, a real connection to the Chinese community. Not like the NDP. They like to marry Chinese people. We have the real connection, was, I think, the substance of that message. So that's nice. That's
yeah, you know, nice little mail order bride throw there.
Yeah, the NDP are coming for your women. There was open contemplation by a Conservative Party candidate of having Thomas Mulcair stripped of his Canadian citizenship should he commit treason.
Yeah, because, you know, if something goes wrong, just it's somebody else's problem. Right.
Well, it's a wonderful return to the concept of exile. You know, I mean, yes, for the longest time we've had this concept of citizenship. And even if you commit horrible crimes, we put you in prison for your life. But no, this is back to like what Genghis Khan would do, right? Like, you're exiled. It's just making me so sad. This is where the discourse is at. And it's silly because it's not real. Like, we're not going to exile people. God, I hope not. I mean, like, there isn't a basis in law. The courts have said, no, the women wearing niqabs are going to be able to participate in the citizenship ceremony. Like,
I mean, there's more to it than that.
It's just something to talk about.
So if I'm remembering this article from the CBC properly, a man was wondering what would happen to his two daughters who were born in Canada should they commit a crime. Will they be deported? And he was told yes, because he came from elsewhere and his daughters have dual citizenship.
Right. Just by insinuation that there's some new category of lesser Canadian. It's not actually true. If you're a dual citizen, you're a citizen. But these ideas that I think are just sort of fodder, grist for the mill, divisive issues that help, maybe they will get turned into law, maybe not. But like the doubt that is being entered, like what's happening on a cultural level is so dispiriting. Like this is for real. Like I was talking to a woman who's whose kid is taught by a woman who wears a hijab. The kid never noticed. The kid never noticed that there was anything different about the teacher. And then someone mentions to her kid, oh, did you know that your teacher might not be allowed to vote? It's all crossed wires. Nobody is suggesting that women in the niqab or the hijab shouldn't be allowed to vote. But the idea that the teacher was different or other or somehow less Canadian. For the first time ever is in this kid's head, you know?
Screw it. Screw the you're with us or you're against us narrative, which has people who don't look white and straight on their toes because of their race, because of their religion. And screw the fact that Canada, which is supposed to be a welcoming country, is suddenly making people look at one another differently.
I think that that's where this is being lived, is if you actually have to like send your kid to school in like a turban or in a hijab, and now you're just like, is it safe for me to do this? And I can't speak to what that's like. And we're two white people discussing this. We're hearing reports, I mean, at the extremes of actual acts of violence. But I can only imagine how shitty this is for people to be like othered as a political football is the cliche, but just like as a tactic, that they're just fodder.
No, it's what the hell, conservatives? There was a woman who was attacked in Toronto in front of her two little children. And she said that her daughter was so freaked out by the incident. She saw her mom attacked while wearing a niqab. In Canada.
Yeah.
That's a hate crime.
And look, we're shocked and outraged. We've been shocked and outraged from the start. Like, that is part of the formula. That is counted on. That doesn't matter. You know, the monocles can fall out all through downtown Toronto. It's not stopping the machine. The machine is working. And I find myself...
And I would just like to know that the machine only started working when Harper brought in an Australian campaign advisor.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, I think that some of this is just like, there was just good luck for Harper in the decision against him on the niqab coming at the time that it did. That worked to his favor, as did the TPP stuff. There's no master plan to that. It just...
Says you. You don't know what's going on in their war room.
I don't know. It has consequences. And Jane, it has me like more than ever feeling like what's missing from the playbook of outrageous thing is said in a very common, reasonable way. I mean, what does Harper preface all of his statements with? Well, look. Like, it's always this very pandering, like, well, look, I have no choice but to incite divisive, racist
ideology. He sounds like an old racist uncle at a table that has a giant turkey in front of it for Thanksgiving. And he sounds like, well, look, I've lived a little. I have some experience. I know the world better than you do. No matter what he says, that is his tone.
Yeah, it's like that. There's no real other reasonable option but to see things the way that he's describing them. And everybody else looks kind of crazy by comparison because we're so upset by the actual lived implications of this stuff.
And I have to say, maybe this is where satire comes in. Maybe this is where we need to make fun of how freaking ridiculous this is.
That's what's missing here. That's it entirely. Like, we've been posting these videos by Scott Vroman that are really funny. I think that they're great.
And everybody loves them.
We'll plug them and everyone should go check them out. They're not doing what we're talking about, though. And that wasn't the intention of them. There's something wonderful that happens that is outside of this usual play of like outrageous thing is said, people get mad about it or argue against it. There's something that happens when mockery is exerted the way it should be. When it's not about shouting them down or saying that they're awful, it's about embarrassing them. There's something about after you see the killer impersonation of a politician or the killer John Stewart or John Oliver takedown of an idea or of a politician where you can't quite look at them the same anymore.
No,
you
really can't. I don't know.
They've been denuded. They've been humiliated. And we just don't have that. And we need it. We need it so bad right now.
And you know what? It doesn't just fall to the media. Politicians can be just as ridiculous. They can make fun of Harper just as much. They can go further in their opposition to this bluntly xenophobic position.
Yeah, and it's...
I'm just angry at everyone for everything about this.
I'm scared, and I'm not drama queening this. I'm telling you, like, it's all in code words, right? So today I was spouting off on Twitter about this stuff, and people are saying, you're overreacting. We're not racist. We're just against female genital mutilation. That's a barbaric practice. Would you not agree? Islam isn't a race. It's a religion. Ban is on religious headgear. That's not Muslim specific. This isn't race. This is not anti-Muslim. we've seen this before. No one ever comes out right with it with using the word. When McCarthy came after Jews, he called them communists, right? When the communists came after Jews, they called them rootless cosmopolitans. It's about dog whistles. It's about code words. And it's exactly what we're seeing. Female genital mutilation, which like, is that a huge problem in Canada that is happening? Because I can't find a documented case of it. And yet we're told that we need a hotline for it. And I'm reminded of the blood libel against Jewish people. Like this is – it's old and destructive and gross. And I'm sorry if it makes me seem like I'm a hopping mad, you know, textbook Harper derangement syndrome victim. Like it's happening in front of my eyes in my country and I give a shit. Okay, part two of the same thing is that the – again with the niqabs today in the headlines, right?
Yep.
So
they
today –
they just won't leave, will they? They just won't retire.
Well, this country, it's a huge problem. The niqabi problem is it's plaguing us. No, I mean, so now what is the – like how does this story still have legs? It has legs because it's moved on from the niqab in the citizenship ceremony to this idea that the conservatives are contemplating banning the niqab in the civil service. That's what's in every paper today, right?
That's what's getting the clicks.
So we like reverse engineered that story. Just out of curiosity, like how – where did that come from? Who decided that that should be news today? And everyone reports that this was announced and everyone, you know, assumes a certain amount of like intentionality out of Harper. Like there's a very skilled, tactical politician. Everything is predetermined. And where did he make the announcement that he's considering the niqabi ban? It was on this interview with Rosemary Barton on the CBC yesterday.
Yeah, it was. And it's very interesting, actually, because – it's like a light bulb went off in his head, you know? Rosemary was just following the line of questioning about the niqab, trying to, I suppose, figure out how far it can go, how far the conservatives will
take it. Right, the slippery slope thing, like, okay, you've banned it here. Where else are you going to take this anti-niqab thing? And she's actually the one who brings it up. He didn't bring it up. She brings up the civil service.
She does, and it's like a light bulb goes off in Stephen Harper's head of like, oh, yes, I can put this in the headlines for another day. And if you actually listen to what he says, he doesn't say anything. All he's saying is like, I'll contemplate it. Okay, well, I'm going to contemplate having a double cheeseburger for dinner. You know, it doesn't mean I'm going to have one.
Let's play it right now.
What is the limits then? Like what can a government then tell someone to do? If you're willing to tell this woman that she can't live her life like this, that she cannot wear this at this ceremony, where do you put the limits?
Well, this is a Canadian public ceremony. And certainly Canadians have a right to establish the basic values around that ceremony that are reflective of our basic values as a society.
But a public service worker, for instance, in the civil service, someone who has a public position, should they be allowed to?
Well, that's a matter we're going to examine.
You're absolutely right. It's not a policy announcement. She opened a door there of like, how far are you going to take this niqab thing? And I think he improvised. That was Jazz Harper. That was Scat Harper. He's like, aha, I can give this new life to this niqab thing. Yeah, sure. We're exploring the possibility of banning the niqab in the civil service.
I definitely hear the confetti going off in his head and like this, the silly string of like the party of like, yes, we can get more out of the niqab.
Whatever was going on in his head, that's all he had to say was, yeah, we're exploring that. And today the papers are filled with it. And not only are they filled with an issue that is a winner for the conservatives, it's an issue that means we're not talking about 100 other things.
Yeah, it does. Like we're not talking about the TPP as much as we should because we still have no idea what's in there.
Okay, I'm going to argue with you there because okay. The first question in that interview was about TPP. In fact, the interview was like staged in a factory floor with a Canadian flag in the corner. Like it was the TPP interview as it was branded by the conservatives. Why the CBC? I know that they've had to sell their buildings or they're in the process of doing so. I understand that all the interviews are now being conducted in fields. Maybe they don't have the studio space anymore. But no, this was obviously a bit of stage management of like we are the TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, this big trade deal that was just announced is another winning issue that contradicts the narrative of the Harper government being lousy at economics. And we want this interview to be about that. So what is Rosemary Barton, who is – I think like I'm a fan. I think she's been doing a wonderful job this election. But what does she open that interview with? She asks him, was there any point during the 5-year negotiation of this trade deal where you thought it just might not happen? Like, Jane, that is the question you ask somebody who's just won a gold medal at the Olympics. Like, did you ever doubt yourself? That's what you ask the Oscar winner. Like, how hard was this role?
Well, first of all, as many have pointed out on Twitter, that set really brought out Stephen Harper's eyes.
So if we're going to talk, if we must talk about the trade deal, do we talk about the fact that it was negotiated in secret and we have no actual idea what's in it?
That is my point. We have no idea what's in it. All we know is supply management. Can we turn that into a hashtag? Like hashtag supply management. The narrative hasn't been as critical as I would like for it to be. It's been repeating talking points. And the only reason it's been repeating talking points is because we haven't seen the actual deal yet.
It's message control. And who is setting the message? We're in a completely reactionary mode. We are just dancing to their tune again and again.
When I took a PR class in university, you know what they told me? The question doesn't matter. Only the answer matters.
Yeah.
So maybe we should just keep asking the same question until we get an actual answer to it.
I think that's interesting. Like, I questioned why Rosemary had to begin the interview about this trade deal. And I got a very quick response. Somebody said, that's the big news of the day. What else is she going to start with? And I'm like, well, who made it the big news of the day? Like, and what is this consensus about? Like, the news is supposed to be about the news. What is this thing where we, like, opened up the papers and we all agree that whatever the Globe and Mail to CBC is leading with, that's what we all must talk about? Why not ask about the environment or Duffy or any other of the 100 other issues? Well, that's done. We've agreed that that's done. Why? Do we have all the answers on that? We don't. I mean, why not ask relentlessly? Just
ask the same question. If your question is not being answered, if you ask, why are we not doing anything about murdered, missing Aboriginal women and girls? And the answer is like, well, that's a criminal issue. No, keep asking the question again and again and again and again until you get an answer. What?
Yeah, there's this there's this conception of like, well, I've only got 13 minutes. I'm trying to cover as much ground as I can. It's like, you know what? If you did nothing but spend that 13 minutes asking about, and it doesn't have to be my issue, and this is not to focus exclusively on Rosemary Barton, like anybody who has an opportunity to 5 minutes, 10 minutes, pick one thing where we have not received clarity, where we don't have a clean answer from the PM, and ask that question. And you can watch, there are British journalists who know how to do this. You just ask it again. I'm sorry you didn't answer the question.
You know what the best point in the campaign was for me, the best interview with the leaders was for me? When Chatelaine, which is a hugely underrated publication in my opinion, had questions with all the leaders. And at some point, they asked Harper a question which he just straight up lied about. And instead of listening to his answer, they cut him off and said, you actually said this something completely opposite on your interview with Mansbridge. That was hands down the best point of the campaign. And I would get a TV subscription if our journalists kept doing that, kept fact-checking, kept asking the same question over and over until it's freaking answered.
Word up to Chatelaine. So, Jane, you know that before your arrival here, we did a couple stories about newspaper endorsements.
Oh, you don't say.
And I was interested in these occasions where newspaper publishers were shoving down the throat of editors, you must endorse this candidate, because it tells you a bit about how the newspaper is run and who really is in control.
And today, La Presse announced that they're endorsing Justin Trudeau.
Okay. I don't have an interest in this because I feel that newspaper endorsements are all that influential. I don't think people read newspaper endorsements and decide who to vote on the basis of newspaper endorsements.
That's your opinion, yes.
I feel like maybe there was that time, maybe, but the time has passed. That is my opinion. I do, however, think that in this election, the press has an incredible amount of power to determine the vote. I think the press might actually have the power to determine who the next prime minister is because, of course, and this has been consistent throughout polling up till right now, the majority of voters want Harper out. And they just are going to look at the last minute at where to vote strategically in order to do
that. I think that's your interpretation of the polls. But what the polls actually say is that it's a really freaking tight race.
No, we're talking about different polling. I mean, there are polls about which party you're going to vote for, that question.
Sure.
Then there's the question of, do you want to see a change? Do you want Harper out?
Of course.
And the majority of people polled have consistently said, I want Harper out. We know that strategic voting is going to be a major factor.
And it's widely recognized in the public, I think. I actually saw a project called VoteTogether.ca, which aims to figure out who is going to vote in ridings where conservatives could be voted out. And constituents in those ridings can check in on election day and see who they should vote for.
Right. So that's like maybe a better way than flipping open a newspaper and seeing what the columnists are saying to determine if you are a strategic voter. I think that, like, you know, for a lot of people, your preference between the NDP and the Liberal Party is not as great as your preference against the Prime Minister and that government. And that's just true. So when a great number of people finally check in a day or two or a week before the election to figure out, all right, am I going red or orange? That's when the press has an incredible amount of power. And I kind of like sensed that there was a day, and I don't know, it's a chicken and egg thing. Maybe it was spurred by the polls saying the NDP are through, and then all the columnists and analysts piled on and started.
Sure, sure.
And you saw headline after headline. NDP slide in poll appears to signal end of three-party tie.
Ouch.
I mean, that came like a week ago. There's a lot of time left in the election. No, it's the end of the three-party tie.
Oh, Mulcair is going to be so sad.
Polls show emerging two-way race amid signs of orange crash.
Like the was not clever at all.
Like the language is they're done, you know? And in an election where anything could happen, it's been like over a week that we've been told relentlessly, you know, even Conrad Black.
And a week is significant in the news cycle considering, you know, things can come and go within hours.
Yeah, I mean, anything could happen. And the points, I mean, yes, there's absolutely been a shift in Quebec around Mulcair's polling, but like anything could happen. The other candidates could screw themselves up.
Whoa!
Mulcair could, like anything could happen. But no, we're being given this message like, forget it, forget it. If there was a time when you thought this was possible, forget it. National Post View, the new NDP, same as the old. Conrad Black, the NDP still isn't ready, but it turns out Trudeau might be, in the Post. CBC analysis, Liberal comeback in Toronto dampens Mulcair's hopes for victory. So it's like, you know, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy perhaps where you're told like again and again, forget it, it can't happen. And then you're like, well, you know, I kind of prefer the NDP to the Liberals, but I'm going to have to vote Liberal. And I just wonder, without any kind of like, did anyone get together and say, okay, like the fix is in? It just sort of felt like one day that was the message and it was being across every news
organ. Well, I mean, that was the message after the debates, right? After the last debate where Mulcair, in my opinion, didn't do too well.
Did he go down in flames? Was it like, okay, obviously that's over? It didn't feel that way to me. I'm not like lobbying for anybody here. I'm just trying to like make some sense of what I'm being told.
What I think is even more interesting is that while voters will look to the media to figure out who they should vote for, strategic voters will, there's something to be said about the lack of polling in smaller ridings and swing ridings and the lack of tiny local media that is able to report on what is going on in their specific ridings. So we look at the leaders and we look at the parties, but when it comes to specific ridings where the races are tight, we don't really have that much information. And I haven't seen much information published on those things.
Yeah, I don't know either. I don't, and nothing would surprise me. Like I'm not as informed as a lot of people are about how polling really works. I see that there's like 1,200 people across the country are being asked who they'd vote for. Like, is it getting to that granular writing by writing level? Is it taking into account people on their cell phones? Are we basing everything off of landlines? You know,
yeah, and they're all good questions that have already been asked. But
if people want to let me know how I should be reading this stuff better, I would like to know. But what I can tell you is that, but just speaking personally, I kind of feel like nothing would surprise me at this point. An overwhelming conservative majority that puts the polls to shame would not surprise me. A complete reversal of what everyone's saying about Mulcair would not surprise me. What if a whole new bunch of young voters show up who aren't being counted in these polls? So to defer so much to these analysts, to Conrad Black, to the National Post's, I mean, it's such a weird thing. The National Post view, the NDP is the same as the old NDP. Like, that's like an endorsement against a party as opposed to actually endorsing for it. It's like, just don't vote for these guys. They can't win. I feel like, you know, it ain't over till it's over. That was your Canada Land Shortcuts. I hope you enjoyed it. You can email me at jesse@canadalandshow.com. I read them all. I respond when I can. I'm on Twitter at Jesse Brown. Jane, where are you?
I'm on Twitter at JaneLYTV, or you can email me at jane@canadalandshow.com.
Our website is canadalandshow.com, and the crowdfunding site is patreon.com/canadaland. This show is produced by Katie Jensen. The next episode of Canada Land will be up on Monday. The next episode of Canada Land Commons will be up on Tuesday. If you like this show, please support it. Hey, I need you to pay close attention to this message. It is not an ad. This is about Canada Land, and this is about you. You need to know that the news crisis is about to get a lot worse. You've heard about the layoffs. We're about to have news closures, and it's very likely that we're going to be seeing the defunding of the CBC. Where are you going to get your information from? What can you do about this? You can support Canada Land. We need you to. And so for this month and this month only, you can become a Canada Land supporter and get everything our supporters get for just $2 a month. That is an almost 80% discount. The clock is ticking on this. It disappears at the end of the month, and then we will not offer it. We need your support. We need to keep news coverage alive in Canada. Go right now to canadaland.com/join. And thank you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.